a disturbing, a concerning, and a tragic event at Seattle-Tacoma Airport up in Washington State, SeaTac, where Saturday night an airline worker, not a pilot, a baggage handler from I understand, a guy that works on the ramp, managed to get into an airplane, stole it, took off, flew around, and then crashed into the ground.
This morning, we are starting to hear from that guy, from recordings that were taken inside of that airplane as he communicated with air traffic controllers. Take a listen to this.
I got a lot of people that care about me, and it's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize to each and every one of them. Just a broken guy, got a few screws loose, I guess. Never really knew it until now.
Yeah, bizarre incident. I mean, this guy works there.
That's him in the cockpit talking to ATC.
Yeah, you want to hear more of it?
Hey, pilot guy, can this thing do a backflip, you think? I think I'm going to try to do a barrel roll. And if that goes good, now I'm just going to nose down and call it a night.
Yeah, suicidal, obviously, which brings up some of like the biggest concerns for those out there, airline or airport employees causing mayhem like
yeah,
this guy.
I mean, you know, the TSA taking away your toothpaste ain't going to do anything about people who already have clearance to be in and around aircraft doing something like this. Joining us right now on our KTA newsmaker line is Dr. Aaron Bowen. Dr. Aaron is an aviation psychologist. Expert. First off, good morning to you, ma'am.
Good morning.
Is aviation psychology, is that a relatively new thing? Are we learning more about this now? Is this, I know there was always the physical concern. We had a mandatory retirement age for pilots, for example, worried about their physical health, but mental health becoming a bigger issue in the aviation world?
Well, you know, aviation psychology really started growing out of, you know, in the 70s and 80s when we started seeing people make mistakes and causing accidents.
Mm.
You know, people who got fixated on little teeny things. It originally started out less about pilot mental health or airport employee mental health, but unfortunately, that's really the direction it's had to move in more recently.
Doctor, I want to play one more piece of audio from what we are hearing, the communication that this guy had with air traffic controllers. Take a listen.
Because I don't think I'd be happy with you telling me I could land like that, because I could mess some stuff up.
Well, Richard, I already talked to him, and just like me, what we want to see is you not get hurt or anybody else get hurt. So like I said, if you want to try to land, that's probably the best place to go.
You've heard these recordings from inside. What do you take away from the guy that stole the plane and was able to fly it for quite some time?
You know, listening to him talking back to air traffic control, and he even talks for a little bit with a pilot that the controllers got on to sort of help him mm-hmm. fly the plane if he needed it. This is not somebody, if I had to guess, who is just suicidal. You know, there's something else going on, some mental or physical illness, because he very much seems sort of disconnected from the reality of the decisions that he's making.
Oddly calm, I would say.
Oh, very much so. And now the calmness itself may not have been totally unusual, but he asks at one point to go see the orca whale that's been trailing its dead
right.
calf around the sound. It's been on the news for about the last week and a half. And just very disjointed communications and not connected to the present moment with what he's doing.
The likelihood that this even could happen was something that just really surprised me. I don't know why, but it did. This guy had the clearance to be out there on the runway, and I would say that the biggest, or one of the biggest threats that we would have in aviation is somebody from the inside,
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily just trying to hurt himself, as was the case in this situation in Seattle, but I think we could learn a lot from this. What do you think?
Well, this is absolutely an incident that we as an industry are going to have to learn from, and those of us who do, you know, research work with the industry, because aviation's job is really to plan for the unlikely or the extremely rare And that's why so many of the systems have double and triple redundancies and backups. You know, you don't just send out a single pilot to fly a 737. You have two for a reason. We don't let them be alone on the flight deck. And so the fact that he was able to violate their own internal protocols and do all of these things single-handedly, it's going to cause a lot of reflection. And there's I would expect there to be some pretty substantial changes in how they track their adherence to policies there.
We're talking to aviation psychology expert Dr. Aaron Bowen from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Prescott, rhymes with biscuit. And Dr. Bowen, it strikes me that, and you just kind of touched on that a little, I'm going to go back to 9/11, and one of the criticisms was that there was a lack of imagination. We never thought anybody would do something like that. We never thought that they would use planes as a weapon like this. And this wasn't just a little tiny plane. This guy, this is a, it was a regional jet. It wasn't a big 737 or a big, you know, a 777, but it still was a, I want to say about a 40, 50 passenger RJ regional jet. You see a lot of them fly around here. I mean, the idea that that plane crashing into downtown Seattle could have been catastrophic. And, you know, how do you anytime you and I fly, we see tons of people walking around on the tarmac, tons of people with access to airports. How does that change?
Well, you know, that imagination is one of the challenges, because to think like people who aren't logical are going to think, like in this case, it's really a challenge for those of us who are in, you know, the planning and the safety part of this business. But again, that's where we come back to, we watch each other. So you've got a ramp worker on the field. You should never have just one ramp worker on the field. They're surrounded by their colleagues, and they're really trained to practice that sort of see something, say something. Where if I see somebody behaving unusually or not following a procedure or engaging in corner cutting or recklessness, that I speak up. And that's the same whether you're a pilot up in the aircraft or whether you're throwing bags underneath.